Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Highlighted by Marty Baron, it's a big day to celebrate Sabres alumni as we are here at the Alumni Golf Tournament, Niagara Falls Country Club. How are you coming in hot?
I'm doing great. I already had a birdie, first hole of the day. Not that I actually made the putt, but it was a four-footer.
I'm so hungry. I thought you were going to say burger, and I'm
burger.
Like,
no.
I would love a burger right now.
I will tell you this. I had some of the best wings I've ever had already here.
What?
So
today?
Filetta's were serving like... poppy seed something wing. I don't know. They were unbelievable. The meat falling
this
off
morning.
This morning. It was unreal.
No wonder you look so good. You're happy.
Yeah.
You're.
And I had Lenovo pizza, I think. I'm playing with Joe Millar from the draft room, you know, so I've got the.
And you started with a birdie?
We started with a birdie.
Did you have any input?
I made the putt.
Attaboy. Short? Long?
Oh, it was a four-footer. It was, like, easy. It was, you know. I told the guys. Like, there was a lot of break. I told them, just go right edge firm. And they went center of the cup firm, and they missed short side both. And then I went in, and I showed them how it's done. Right edge firm, went right in, started the day with a birdie. And now we were on the par 5 13th hole here at Niagara Falls Country Club.
Yeah.
And I made my approach shot, ended up in the right side bunker.
Yeah.
And then I bailed on them. I don't know what's happening, but I'll catch up on them later.
Well, you're a good student, obviously, as you drained that putt after getting a little bit of a look ahead of time.
Yes.
And maybe,
but I also was the caddy on the hole, so I knew exactly what was going to happen.
And maybe now the greatest student through an awful lot of failures, Tommy Fleetwood.
Unbelievable.
I'm bringing this up on a hockey show
because I think
a lot of our alumni – would have been immersed in watching that, and because of their stature within professional athletics, can relate to something like watching Tommy Fleetwood and the heartbreak and stuff. And I think it's relevant across
all sports,
all sports,
like, it's facts of life. Like, I had the conversation 100%. With my kids last night. So we had a little get together with some of the alumni last night. I come home, they're in the backyard, they're watching TV, you know, a movie, they're watching F1 on the back porch with the projector, the whole thing. And
they are your children.
And they, yes, so they're watching a racing movie. But I'm like, Tommy Fleetwood, not only did he get his first PGA Tour win, it's in the biggest tournament, well,
in the sense of payday,
in the sense of $10 million, the FedEx Cup. And knowing that he had failed twice before when leading all the way down, he would have traded the failures for that one win, right? Like saying, like, I'm learning. And more than that,
like, I would have loved
he
to
put
have had
the ball,
earlier.
Okay, Saturday, he put a ball on the water in 15, right?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of kids on the rope line. What does he do? He's high-fiving all the kids. He just put the ball in water on 15. He's high-fiving everybody. So I'm like, so I'm telling my kids, this is a life lesson. It's in golf and hockey, in everything. You are going to fail. It is 100% certainty. If there's one bet in life, is that everybody is going to fail at something. How do you learn? How do you rely on the people around you? How do you conduct yourself? You know, the last time Tommy Fleetwood lost the tournament was 3-4 weeks ago, a month ago, and he did an interview after the tournament.
Great interview.
Great interview.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't believe. They're like, a lot of guys would be out of there. Look.
Well, this opens up a whole other thing for me. Like, I'm big on, you know, if you're in the realm of being televised and what you do, like, there's an accountability component that should be a part of it. And you're right. Like, many would have just said, I'm not doing it, and then you're never getting that interview.
Yeah.
Like, Fleetwood, all these things that you're talking about.
But that was last night. And then, like, that was yesterday afternoon. And then I went inside and I started watching a little tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Shayna Goldman, who's a regular contributor, she's off this week because she is into the U.S. Open big time. They go to the U.S. Open. They have their honey deuces, right? Their drinks. They have fun, whatnot. But I know last night she was watching Medvedev.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't text her because it was late. But I know she had to have been watching Medvedev. It was going on at the same time as Jesse Pegula was playing.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to kind of go back and forth. And he's down 2-0. He's down match point. So the other guy's serving advantage the server, something happened in the match that I had never seen happen before. So he serves, first serve, puts it in the net. Then a photographer came out of the door, like out of nowhere, onto the court. And so they pause. The chair umpire says, because of the delay, unexpected delay, I'm re-awarding you your first serve.
Wow.
Because now there's too much time between first serve and second serve to get in the rhythm.
Not a natural. Yeah.
Medvedev gets mad because he's down match point now. And he creates this euphoria into the building. He's yelling at the chair umpire. He's yelling in the camera because he knows where the camera is. He's getting the crowd. 7 minutes long, the crowd was chanting, and they didn't play for 7 minutes long. So the other guy is, like, waiting to serve, right, at match point. Sure enough, misses the first serve. The crowd goes crazy, loses the point. Medvedev wins the set. So he wins the third set, wins the fourth set, 6-love.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to a fifth set. He ended up losing in the fifth set.
Oh, thank goodness.
So the guy ended up winning. The guy that had the match point.
The left guy, as we learned 2 weeks ago.
But it was another one of those moments where you're like, how do you handle that moment in the...
I handle moments like this as we adjust the iris, but oh my gosh,
the sun
feels
is
good.
So good. Warm.
We're in a big iris world, as we know lately. A lot of iris. Did you know?
So, that's a great cover, by the way.
Well, yes, and the Goose were
just
here.
I know we're jumping all over the place.
But... And we're going to talk more about Addison Logan, who's behind the camera right now, later, because she made her first town ballroom appearance.
Yes.
But so amidst the Goose being here, boy, we're all over the map to start.
And amidst you catching them in.
Yeah, but so then I was hanging out with my buddy Jay, who's a recording engineer at Robbie's studio in town, and I was learning just about how, as we know, everything in life is cyclical, fashion especially, right? But music comes around again, too. And the Goo Goo Dolls are benefiting from this new, really young generation of music listeners.
Mm.
If you go to Apple Music right now, and you go to charts, and you go to rock, Iris is the number one daily downloaded song right now. It's crazy. And it's fascinating. And as someone who loves music and loves people that make a career and get an extra boost somewhere along the way, like, I was sitting there in that crowd in Cleveland a couple of weeks ago feeling like, man, like, they are up here right now. And now I get it.
Yeah.
Like, you probably get a boost when you realize that you have a new fan base, and whether that's at the U.S. Open or in golf, which Tommy Fleetwood probably has a new fan base now.
Or on a day like today where we're with the alumni, and I walk into the room this morning, and I'm like, I'm a kid in a candy store.
Always.
I am I got a present yesterday from Danny Gare Duffer. It literally touched me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so Danny, Gare, we get together, and he says, Marty, before you leave, I got something in the car for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, night's wrapping up. I'm like, I'm going to head out. He goes, I'm going to head out too. Come to the car. He had a framed picture of him and I that we took at the Connect Life golf tournament this year. Mm-hmm. And he wrote to Marty, thank you for your friendship and support, Danny Gare. Mm-hmm. It's a nice picture of the both of us with the banner. The boat of us, with the banner
stalked
and it's signed
right over there.
And exactly. And I'm like, I got home. It's like, after talking about, Tommy Fleetwood and Medvedev, I was like, oh, and by the way, I got this from Danny Gare. Like, how amazing is that? I'm like, this is like, I'm still in awe.
We take stuff in from this group of alumni.
Yeah.
And it's so different because you obviously are currently fourth on the all-time wins list. I am not. But we've experienced the things in a similar manner.
And these are all the goalies that are here now?
Well, I got intrigued looking at the alumni list today and thought, do we at least have more goalies than tough guys?
Yes. Yes, we do.
That's hard to do
and
here.
And some of the goalies are tough guys, but yes.
Yes, they are. Sorry, I didn't give you your due respect.
Absolutely. But, I mean, I was sitting.
We have eight goalies, Sabre alumni, here today.
Okay.
And if the list is correct, is Millsy here?
Millsy is here.
Okay.
He's here.
And that's a first. Is that a first time?
He was first time for the golf tournament, yes. He's been around. He was late for our alumni meeting.
Perfect.
And he was late for our alumni picture.
Amazing.
So, yeah, that's Ryan Miller in
the
nutshell right
there. When you're number one on the list, you can roll in whenever you want.
Craig Anderson is here.
Yeah.
Tom Draper is here. I love Drapes. I played with him in Rochester, actually.
Did Jerry Desjardins make it?
Jerry Desjardins is here. Phil Mir is here.
Darren Puppa?
I didn't see Poop yet. I don't think Poop is here. Dwayne Rosen is here.
Yes. Well, Puppa would make eight, but if not, we've got seven for sure.
We got seven for sure. I don't think Poop I played with last year.
Well, he's here usually. That's why.
Yeah. So. I don't know that he made it this year because I didn't see him. He's one of the first one I go and talk to. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Like the list of goaltenders that are here right now, it's a fraternity, right? As you get together, you know, Jerry Desjardins came right over and said hello, and then Phil Mir. And then we're talking about Larry Carrier last night was talking about his time in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Where Phil Mir was his goalie with Dan Bouchard. And I'm like, oh, I remember Dan Bouchard in Quebec. And so, I mean, it's 3 degrees of separation, even though we never played together and we're probably 40 years apart.
And the reality is no matter what position we're talking about, it's almost impossible to find a player who only played for one organization. That's mm-hmm. just the nature. So you all share in this, right? Whether it's, I mean, every goalie that we just rattled off has ended up playing somewhere else.
Yes.
And then, by extension, you have different shared experiences because you've moved around. Mm-hmm. So what's that like? What's your common ground and all that, right? And I just, was I like sending up a trial balloon when we were doing that 716 day earlier this year with content? You know, like you're tied for sixth on all-time Vezina wins.
Vezina wins, yes, exactly.
But like the fact is there's only 61 goalies that have ever played for the Sabres. And only 50 of them, Marty, actually secured a victory.
Yeah.
Like, and then when you take it into playoffs, which you unfortunately didn't even have the opportunity to get a minute.
I didn't play 1 minute.
There's only 21 of those 61 that appeared in a playoff, let alone one.
Like, well, I might be the only one on this list that did not, right?
No,
because Dwayne Rosen did.
Craig Anderson didn't, obviously.
Oh, Craig Anderson, you're right.
Yeah.
But
Phil Mir had an appearance, but not a win.
Like, because Tom Draper did the 1 year, remember?
Well,
like,
Tom
he came
was
in.
This close, 1992, playing against Boston.
Yeah.
Dave Reed scores the series winner in the seventh game.
Yeah.
Like, Tom Draper, this series was unbelievable, and it ends up being... I mean, it was a decade removed from the ultimate heartbreak against Boston when Park scored in overtime in Game 7. This was regulation.
It was a year before the Brad May.
But it ends up being a year before May Day, which becomes one of the great moments. And it was also against Boston, and it was largely unexpected based on how good at times Boston had been in the regular season. So it's crazy to me when you
Would that have been Reggie Lemelin in goal for Boston then, 92?
Probably.
Yeah. Andy Moog wasn't there yet.
Well,
right?
No, Andy was there.
He was there
because
too?
Funny you mentioned this. It had to have been that season, the 91-92. So I came home from college at Christmas and went to a Sabres Bruins game, and the Sabres roasted them 8-1.
Yes.
And I feel like I was largely responsible for getting the anti goalie chant going. This is why I'm remembering this because
Andy,
it was Andy and Reggie, both of them got lit up in the 8-1 game. So yes, so there you go.
I love when you do that. You try to put a spell on the goaltender, but it comes down to again. We talked about crowd support, alumni, feeling those, like the crowd support for Tommy Fleetwood yesterday on 18. They were comparing it to when Tiger won there just like 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And the crowd surrounding the green and all of that. The crowd support for Medvedev at the U.S. Open last night. Crowd support for Jesse Pegula at the U.S. Open last night.
Yep.
She wins the first set 6-0. She's down 4-1 in the second set. And you're thinking, oh, if she loses the second set, it's a little problematic. No, she wins the second set 6-4. The crowd support was there. The crowd support, Ed Deer, we're talking about the odd with some of the, mm-hmm. you know, the alumni this morning and how, you know, it's been tough, yes. But how when the crowd is on and the team is on, how that building has a vibe of its own, it's incredible. But yeah, we got the sun here at Niagara Falls Country Club for
sun
a second.
Shower.
And now we're getting one cloud of rain, and I don't even know where it is.
But this is appropriate based on how we're talking. Like, okay, we're trying to talk about clouds having silver linings.
Yeah.
Now we're getting the opposite, like when it rains, it pours. But that's okay. Like, I don't mind this. No, and it's funny because you're mentioning all these, like...
I'm sure the electrical components of the show are not loving
well,
it.
Well, my right laptop now. Might bite the dust here real quick. But from fans and their interactions with alumni and or at sporting events, but specifically today because we celebrate the Sabres alumni, John sends in, Marty helping me pick up my fumbled twigs at the Pepsi Center... North Towns, a few years ago, must have been starstruck by his presence. Jägermeister shots with Razor, circa 1992
yeah,
on Allen Street.
That has to be a long time ago, because obviously
and
Razor,
and Gilbert Perreault signing my popcorn box, circa 1981, and I've lived that experience as a kid, too, because what if you don't have anything to sign? Yeah. Here, take this, yeah. Right? And that...
wax popcorn box, like...
And if it's a pen, it's not signing.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, Danny was just talking about how he saw Gilbert Perreault just a few weeks back in Montreal. They were getting together
the
for the Canada, Canada Cup 76. And, you know, Scotty Bowman was there also last night, but he was at that ceremony over there, Serge Savard.
Hey, Ryan, can you relay to Addie to grab some paper towel for the laptop?
She's got a clot coming in, but...
She's trying to protect the camera. We're trying to protect a limited amount of technology here.
Yes. So. But, yeah, so anyway, like he was talking about how... You know, Gilbert, unfortunately, you know, lost his wife. That was 2 years ago. It was the same week or the week before we lost RJ. So a lot of our alumni were actually out in Quebec on transit back from the funeral for, you know, Gilbert's wife. And then they found out about RJ. But he said, you know, obviously... It was a couple of years of adjusting, but Bert is doing really good and hoping to come to Buffalo a couple of times this year, and maybe we get to see him.
But that's also, you know, why these days are treasured by yourself and especially those that try to annually get involved in the Sabres golf tournament if they can through their corporations, their business, just their own personal interest. These are... to be cherished moments for people that have loved this organization, and we are not guaranteed the next year at the golf tournament. That's a simple fact. And so, you know, you look at the list every year and, you know, there's, it's not always the same. That's the beauty of it for people that are trying, like, you know, I mean, now we're in a phase where Craig Anderson has become an alumni and Ryan Miller is in that circle, right? And these were not things people
Tim
got
Conley
to.
Tim Conley is here.
Yeah,
and we didn't see Timmy for a few years and now he's back. And Craig Anderson had a good theory on why sometimes we don't see players right after they retire and then they come back later. Uh-huh. He said, you know, a lot of time back in the days, you know, goalies especially, some would retire at 40, 41, right? And he goes, by that point, your kids are like, you know, 12, 13, 14. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to do something when you retire, so you end up hanging out with the alumni. But now guys retire, and they have 2-3-year-olds at home. Mm-hmm. They want to be spending more time at home. They don't do as much, and then they come back later.
Yeah.
So that is, you know, that is something that obviously happens. But, no, I think those interactions, King Kong Korab was there. You know, he walked into the room last night, like the whole room stopped because he's
which
such
is
a
the
presence.
Way, which is the way it was when he was
on
a
the
player.
Ice. The
and,
whole,
but isn't that amazing? Like I love that aspect of it, and it's not. I mean, with Jerry, I mean, the second you say hello to him, you just realize the gentle nature and just how awesome
smile on
he
his
is.
Face
oh my
all
gosh.
The time.
Amazing, like absolutely amazing. This is all. This is all my childhood, right?
Larry Carrier was in town, and he actually, him and his wife Sue, have been making a bit of a trip to catch all their friends, and they were in town for, you know, a couple of days. And this is, Larry worked for the team when I got drafted, and we used to go over to his house to get dinner when we would work out in the summer, him and the Luces. I saw Diane Luce, you know, this morning. You know, it feels like a big, big family, and I know. We all want that family to have, you know, the success on the ice right now. But the Sabres extended family, those alumni, you know, their significant others, their kids, because we got kids now that are helping volunteer at the golf tournament. It's a big family, and it's definitely makes me enjoy this day even more, knowing that guys are traveling in. For the event, Mike Wilson is in.
Wow.
Willie met Ryan Miller for the first time last night. I don't think they had ever met.
The trade.
Amazing. And Willie goes over to Ryan and goes, you know what? I got to tell you, you made my move, to Florida look a lot better than it actually was, because it was Rhett Warner in the fifth.
So I golfed with Mike at this event years ago, and that was his go-to line, was like, you know, Sabre fans should love me.
Yeah.
They got Ryan Miller and Rhett Warner out of that deal. Like, I have given and given and given. So, yeah, he is an absolute riot and incredibly nice, you know, guy to deal with.
Yeah.
It's great seeing just the reaction at Sabres Live, whether it's Scotty Bowman, or you just go through the list. Like, inevitably people have these moments that are unexpected, and then they walk away. They have new appreciation for people. And again, like, this is all very unscripted based on Tommy Fleetwood yesterday. Just opening eyes and maybe for some people becoming, you know, a really good reminder. And honestly, like, that was why I was tying with sports and the Sabres specifically. Like, Tommy Fleetwood's win gives every fan of X hope. That's all it does. It reminds you that you can do this. And so
Everybody becomes everybody was a Tommy Fleetwood fan yesterday.
Sure.
Like, from Caitlin Clark to LeBron James, they all put something on social media. It all became fast. And I'm telling you this, and I know, like, we're in our bubble here in Buffalo, but if the Sabres can continue to find some steady ground and build, not only will you have the market, our region, just love and support the Sabres just like the Bills, but what you're seeing with the Bills is that, Dan, because for so many years the Bills didn't make it, that it became everybody wanted to see them succeed. And I think the Sabres have that feel. If you go out on social media right now and you listen to podcasts and everybody's talking, which team would you like to see succeed, make the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Sabres are number one. Mm. People want to see the Sabres succeed, not just in our bubble, everywhere. And a win by Tommy Fleetwood shows that. What the Bills were able to do shows that. And now you're hoping that it translates to, you know, something on the ice.
So how does it all affect the current group? Because that's really why we're here every day. We talk about this current team. It's Sabres Live. It's now. It's rapidly approaching as far as rookies arriving, prospects challenge, main camp, preseason begins on the 21st. And then before you know it, it's October 9th and the Rangers are here.
This is our last Monday show for...
Yeah, we got Labor Day next week, and we got football talk straight after that. So, but that doesn't lessen, you know, our...
It means that things are starting to happen.
It does, and it just pushes, or maybe even puts them in bolder letters.
Yes.
The questions that we continue to ask about this group. And Marty, like, we're a few days removed from having a quick chat about Frankie Nazar in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then on, like, well under a season of games played in the NHL.
Yeah.
And now he has a 7-year extension once his entry level is done.
Finishes this year.
And on the drive here today, I'm thinking about Alex Tuch's next deal. Zach Benson's next deal. I'm thinking about all the alumni who for years retire from the game and they watch salaries go up and up and up and up and up and up. And what that experience is like. It's not regret. It's a reality. And there are challenges, physical and financial, for many athletes. I don't want to go down that path too much, but I'm just saying, like, these are observations that all former players have in all sports, right? But when you just look at the current athletes, the current group of Sabres, I sit there and as much as we were focused more on the Hawks and what the deal means for them with Frank, well, what does it actually mean for Alex Tuch when a guy who has literally done almost nothing in the NHL has a 7-year extension at 6.5? And you have Alex Tuch at age 30 looking for, like, a final, like, big contract.
It's not comparable.
It's, like, not comparable, but it's a reality.
But
though,
it's a reality, because then you could say, well, if he's making 6.5 plus, then I'm 8.5, 9 million. Like, but if you were to go in front of an arbitrator, they would say these are not comparable.
Correct.
Because the lack of experience, the RFA situation, the entry level moving on, and Tuch, who would be a UFA, unrestricted free agent. So there's a lot of differences. But the market is what the market is. Mm-hmm. You are ranked from 1 to 1,000 in the National Hockey League
basically,
in salaries,
yep,
right? Mm-hmm. And one, well, you know that's going to be Connor McDavid. And when he gets to there, like, he's not there right now, but right. when he gets there, he'll be number one again. And it drops. Where does Alex Tuck fits in there? Mm-hmm. Well, he fits way ahead of Frankie Nazar. So that you know. In a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, maybe Chicago's laughing, saying, we got Frankie Nazar at 6.5, whatever. But that's just the way that you got to play the game. Mm-hmm. You know. So
what about Zach Benson then, if we're looking for something more comparable?
Benson has to go in this year and prove that he is something different than what I feel has been good, consistent first two seasons. But can you be showing a notch above? And then knowing that you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 notches. So then as a team, you can project and say, okay, we're gonna.
For whom would it be more advantageous to sign a Nazar? Like,
a Nazar?
Nah, it's not. I mean, because this, I don't think it is, because he doesn't have the, I don't even know. Zach's a first rounder, so maybe he does.
Well,
right?
Maybe he's got it. Right now, the difference is that I feel like Nazar showed it in the
but
last
month. He didn't,
month
though.
And a half.
Like, I mean, that would be like saying Zach Benson had 6 good weeks and at some point in yes. the last 2 years and then gets rewarded for it. But I'll ask the question again without the minutia. For whom would it be more advantageous to sign a long term extension right now? Zach Benson or the Buffalo Sabres?
Zach Benson.
Yeah? Okay.
I think it'd be. So I was asked that question today about top line left winger. Like, if you have Norris in the middle and you have Thompson on the right, who's on your left? Right now, maybe it's Zach Benson. Maybe it's not. Who knows? We'll see when they get to camp in 3 weeks from now, like, what that looks like. But if you look at projected depth chart and whatever, maybe that's the spot for Benson. Mm-hmm. I'm like, a top line left winger cannot be 35 to 40 points a year. It has to be 65, 70, 80, 90, like you have to be there. So unless Benson shows me that he can be maybe even a 50 to 60
point guy.
I think
it has to start at 50 if he's playing with those guys, right?
It has to. It has got to minimum. Mm-hmm. Now he'd be showing me that he has another level. Mm-hmm. And I would say, okay, maybe the Sabres need to cash in on that because we're seeing another level of Benson.
What do you think unlocks that for him, though, if he does get the points this year? Do you think it's going to be based on second chances, i.e. rebounds? Do you yeah. sense that there's a development still to come from his shot and shot selection where he can beat? Like, how do you view that?
I mean, we may be years away from saying, oh, Zach Benson all of a sudden is a rush chance generator or mm-hmm. whatnot. I just don't see it in his game.
Okay.
I see a net front guy. I see a guy that's good around the net, got good hands, never going to beat a goalie clean from 35 feet out. But he could still surprise me. So that's where I think his best chance is to say, I'm going to be in front of the net. By playing with better players, I will get more opportunities to collect points and goals, which is maybe the opportunity he's waiting to be able to cash in on the next deal. Because if he all of a sudden ends up playing with, and I don't mean any disrespect to anybody, but if he was to play with Josh Doan and McLeod, well, you're not getting the same opportunities that you are if you're playing with Norris and Thompson.
No, but my glass is half full, and I feel like that line could still be pretty good now that Ryan McLeod feels that he can be an every season 50-point guy.
But again, if I'm looking at that line, yeah. Benson, McLeod, and Doan,
yeah.
then, okay, 40 points sure. for Benson is fine.
Yeah.
But 50 is on the low end of playing with Norris and Thompson.
Right.
That would have to be way above that.
Right, and then you think of like where it all began for all these players, and we're sitting here among alumni today who are out on the course at Niagara Falls Country Club.
It rained, it's sunny, yeah. it rained, it's sunny, it's beautiful. We're overlooking the Niagara Gorge in Canada. On the other side, we see Toronto. Boo, boo, Toronto. That's okay.
You keep staring the wrong way. I'll keep telling you that for many, it begins before you get to days like this and careers like you had. It begins with street hockey, road hockey, however you want to call it, wherever you're located. And we want you to be a part of Hockey Fest this year. It's an all-ages street hockey tournament in conjunction with the Sabres and Fan Fest, which takes place on September 13th. All skill levels are welcome. So visit sabres.com/hockeyfest to sign up your team today. We have a great group of alumni in attendance here this year at the Sabres alumni event. We've talked about a lot of them. We're hearing about your experiences through social media at Sabres Live on the moments you've had a chance to share with Sabres alum. And, of course, there's probably a little bit of news around the NHL, which we can dive into next right here on Sabres Live.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Rolling along here at Niagara Falls Country Club, we are back.
Looking at the map, the radar now.
Weather guy Marty.
Weather guy Marty. Pat Hammer over here. There is a lot of pop-up showers in the area, and it seems like to be blowing this way. So
brace
we may
yourself.
Be doing the show from my golf cart in a little bit.
I've always wanted that. Hey, speaking of golf, because I always make like obscure Canadian golf references on the show.
Corey Connors too.
Did you not see?
No.
Unbelievable. Biggest payday of his career. He had the best round of the tournament yesterday, or of the final round.
Yeah.
He went 8-under, vaulted all the way up to fourth, and got paid $2.66 million. He's only got two wins in his pro career.
Whoa.
And this far exceeded what he would have made from any of those wins. Now, he's also, I was doing some Googling last night, he should be over $30 million in career earnings now, which is the highest among all Canadians ever. But, like, what a consolation prize. Here we're talking about Tommy Fleetwood cresting, getting his first win, getting the $10 million bonus. But, like, what an effort to be pretty mediocre at the start of the tournament, roar back on the Sunday, and in the highest paid event, snag 2.6 and say thanks for a great season. He ended up at over $8 million
for the year.
On the season without any wins. Like, he's very similar to Fleetwood in that way. It's just Connor.
Fleetwood made that comment, too, about, like, and I believe I was listening to the morning show driving in today, but they were talking about Bryson DeChambeau said he doesn't think he's going to see anybody hitting like the career slam or, you know, the grand slam, like all four in a year because he's too competitive. You could go a whole year without winning and still be a top 20 player.
And to the point about career earnings, Scottie Scheffler, modern day, like he's only about $25 million behind Tiger now. That's basically one more year for Scotty, and he's going to have more career dollars earned than Tiger.
Yeah.
And Scotty's not going anywhere anytime soon. Like, there's a long career ahead for Scotty
Scheffler. Even though we can't say he played crazy well. He was good, but
he was right there.
He was right there. He's still top 10.
Like, yeah, he ended up tied for fourth with Connors.
Yeah, Connors. So, yeah. I mean, it's still really good. So
it is pretty
good. Yeah, I mean, that's what football. I've got football in the brains, too, because of the Bills now. And this week being, you know, their week off before, the first game against Baltimore. And that's going to be a crazy – my fandom in me right now is just kicking in with the Bills as well. So
I'd like your umbrella to kick in,
I don't
frankly.
Have an umbrella.
Oh.
I left it
You're
in the car.
You're a golfer, for crying out loud. You don't have one on the cart?
No, I left it in the car. I got one at the Amherst Golf Tournament last week, and I left it in the car.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I probably have three in the car now that I think about it, so I shouldn't be so critical of you.
Yeah, that's okay. I got the golf cart to go get it if
not
we need
expect-
to. But
Addy and Ryan are going to make a cameo behind us with a black tarp.
Yeah, they're going to be holding out a tent, a tarp. Maybe we'll be doing like handheld cameras. It'll be like the real world MTV, Duffer and I running in with the handheld cameras and all of it.
You have no idea, but I literally said that to the crew before you got here today.
The real world?
MTV. I said, let's get it on the shoulder, MTV style. Let's be all over the place. So.
Yeah, that was good. Questions I've gotten on the golf course already.
Yes.
When it comes to the team and this year, you know, we talked about goaltending a lot, you know, defensively, where they're going to rank. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the aspect of toughness was mentioned too a couple of times. Like, it felt like the Sabres were too easy to play against. And, you know, and I'm like, okay, but just like puck management and turnovers, You focus on too easy to play against when the puck ends up in the back of the net.
Yes.
If somebody doesn't check the guy in front of the net and he gets a rebound and he scores, then you're like, oh, soft in front of the net. But if you're getting that save,
right,
you're like, oh, great save, and you don't even focus on the play in front and the toughness in front. I feel like the Sabres did have a fair share of good toughness, but it resulted in goals, so that was a big issue.
Well, I think it's probably best that we take a
short break,
slightly earlier break than usual for our final segment, and we may well relocate thanks to you and your pop-up showers.
Yeah.
So we're back after this on Sabres Live from the Sabres Alumni Golf Tournament, Wet and Wild, at Niagara Falls Country Club today. Stay with us.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Hello.
Hello again.
What
we
a day.
Should be good now. We're underneath the
dude, the I brought patio. A scarf for this very reason. Not that it's waterproof, but I knew at some point I was going to freeze. And when you add like a layer of water on top of me when I'm already...
That's what the problem is. Like right now, my shirt is a little wet and there's a cold breeze and it's like, woo-hoo. It feels very chilly, but it's
thank
perfect.
Thank you to Addie. Thank you to Ryan. Thank you to our amazing crew because we are dodging some elements here today.
It's a four-minute commercial. It was like a relocation set with all the equipment, the camera and everything, and we're perfect.
I don't know if this is going to work, but...
Well, these new glasses?
They are. They are. Hang on. It's hard to put them on when you have headphones on, so I apologize for the rattle.
They are little red hearts.
Okay, so welcome in. It's Sabres Live. We could have done something special from Town Ballroom on Saturday.
Yes, we could have done a show.
Because on the,
Oxford
Pennant stage,
yes,
Addison Logan was performing at the ballroom for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of a Chaperone, the Pink Pony Club was the headliner, was a Chaperone tribute. So, yes. So these were provided by our star co-worker.
Really? You guys, Eddie, you guys handed out glasses?
Well, maybe to some select few.
A few people. Okay, so, well, that's good.
So you can get used to this look from me from here to
so when I can, we
year.
Talk about all facts of life and hockey and football and, you know, tennis and golf and whatnot. So Addie, who has been on location with us like every time we're at the arena or on location, she's setting up. Ryan is just joining now, so he's helping along. But so when I got here this morning, I'm like, hey, how is the concerts? Mm-hmm. Because she played 3 gigs in 3 nights.
Yes.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And the first conversation we had about it was almost like, how do you have to manage that? Because in pro athletes, pro sports, sometimes you're being asked to play more than you usually do, or, you know, play on the Thursday night if you're the Bills when you usually play on Sunday, and it changes your approach. And same thing for singers and musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying that her drummer was sick on Saturday, so he like battled it through. And I'm like, there's been times where Roberto Luongo was sick in a playoff game with the Vancouver Canucks, did not come out of the hallway in overtime, and Danny Sabourin had to go in.
Well, what about the nature, because Josh Allen has been noted for this as far as pregame and the routine, because I actually invoked a little hockey history when talking to Addie after the show on Saturday after Chris, the drummer, had taken that moment.
Some stomach issues.
And, you know, reiterated the great Glenn Hall going 502 consecutive games as a goalie and throwing up before every one of them. And it's just like, to me, when you're around, you know, like you and all the alumni today, just what you witnessed as a teammate of players who were just wired a little differently. And for them, it's kind of like, how do you get ready for these big moments, no matter what field you're living and working in?
Playing Town Ballroom for Addie, for any artist that is kind of building up their resume, it's a big event. Yeah. It's a big stage. And I still remember opening game, the home opener of the 2001-2002 season.
Yep.
So Dominic Hasek gets traded to Detroit in the offseason. We're playing the home opener in Buffalo against the Atlanta Thrashers. I go out for warm-up. Everything's good. I'm feeling good. I come back in the locker room, and I'm sitting in my stall, and then all of a sudden, like, everything inside of me is starting to, like,
oh boy,
go gurgle, and I'm like, what? And I had to run to the bathroom, and I was sick. Never that had happened to me, but it was all of a sudden the impact of my first home opener in the National Hockey League, starting goaltender after the legendary Dominic Kashuk gets traded, and it was a lot, but it didn't hit me until that moment between the warm-up and the start of the game. And unlike Josh Allen, like, we ended up losing the game 2-1, played pretty well, but I felt off all night because of that. Like, that feeling of I was sick and it just didn't feel myself,
and
right?
And did you end up seeing that in many of your teammates over the years? Like, whether it's call-ups or, like, any situation that might just...
Well, for me, it only happened one more time, and it was a game in Chicago, and
right,
the same thing,
like,
I didn't play well.
Do you ever notice it or see it in your teammates in situations like that, or is everybody just so focused on themselves?
I was so focused with the goalies, right, sitting next to the goalies, that I got to see them, like Henrik Lundqvist putting a towel over his head and being in his bubble. Not so much being sick, but the anxiousness and the intensity and the nervousness of the elements. So Ryan Miller... I remember Ryan Miller playing against the Detroit Red Wings and losing the game and being completely crushed after a game that he was physically ill. Like, yeah. He was, like, in the bathroom and didn't want to come out because he was ill.
It was really tough timing for Ryan because when he, as a Michigander, made it, the Red Wings were very good. So Ryan, all he wanted to do was beat Detroit, and the record showed that that didn't happen an awful lot, and it was really hard. And I can only imagine, based on everything we know about Ryan, like how much those nights would have weighed.
It's a lot easier to beat those type of teams early in your career and feel good about it. Like, my record against the Montreal Canadiens was unreal at the start of my career.
Oh, yeah?
And now I still think, oh, I beat the Canadiens all the time. Just then I look back at it, and I'm like, since I got to Philly, I have like maybe I'm like 2-9 or something against the Canadiens.
Wow.
And since I got to Philly. But with Buffalo, I was something like 8-1. So when you start your career feeling good about something, it stays with you. Like the Josh Allen moment that he talked about, how he always felt like this like Flemish kind of feeling. And then he was sick before a game. And he felt great. He's like, I didn't have that phlegm. I didn't have that cough. And it felt great. So now it's almost becoming part of his routine.
Mm-hmm.
It's odd. Don't get me wrong. It's odd. But you got to almost do what feels best for you.
Yeah.
Some guys love to... We had a great story about how Hawk, Larry Carrier, and Jim Schoenfeld argued and almost went to fist fight in the locker room because Shoney was like stretching and yoga and at the end of the year he had played like 45 or 50 games and Larry Carrier could barely touch his toes and he had played all 80 games and at the end of the season they're sitting there at the restaurant or whatever and Larry goes, Shoney, you may want to tone down the stretching next year because you only played 45 games and I played all 80. And it like, Shoney, that was his routine.
Yeah, yeah.
That was his thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he stopped, but Hawk went at him like that. Like, it's just guys have different setup, different, routine, and it works for them.
Amazing tie-in you just did to music. Shoney, one of the few recording artists in Sabres history, right? Look it up. You'll find some vinyl out there at some of the record shops.
Oh,
so.
He did have a rock star aura.
He really did, but honestly, so, like, you mentioned Korab earlier, there's so many that feel,
Gilbert.
Right, that feel like they have that about them, and
Korab had the big fur coat and the leather coat, the Reggie Dunlop coat.
And I'll just tie it all back in with, like, this current group, and how you get to that point, where you feel like you have in your midst, like, hey, we got a guy, we actually got a guy at forward, we got a guy at defense, we got a guy in goal that have this aura about them. Like
Dahlin has the aura.
Right.
And it could be so magnified with an appearance in the playoffs.
Of course.
It would be unbelievable. Tage could have that aura as a rock star, goal scorer, Ovechkin type, like Matthews type, Stamkos type. Like, you have those guys, but you need the team to bring you the support to be able to build that aura. Individually, you can have it, but the team helps you cement that aura when you get there.
As I glance over your shoulder, I see sunny skies. Oh, I suspect that you'll have quite a day. How many birdies should we be talking about by your group
tomorrow? I texted my group, and I haven't heard back how many birdies they have while I'm gone. So I'm
they really loved having you today.
I'm worried about it.
Travel safely out there, my friend. Thanks again to our terrific crew. It's been quite a day to start the week on Sabres Live. We'll see you tomorrow.